This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, we can't see them and usually we can't smell them, but the air around us here in Hertfordshire is unfortunately full of chemicals and particles that can make us ill. There's nitrogen dioxide, there's invisibly tiny particles that are less than 2.5 microns across and they're called PM2.5s, and there's ozone, which is great up in the ozone layer, but rather a nasty irritant when it's down here on ground level. Most, but not all, of these pollutants come from burning fuels in our vehicles, our homes and our workplaces. Now, the good news is that levels of air pollution in the UK are generally going down, largely due to things like more efficient vehicles and the fact that we're burning less coal and the measures that we're taking to reduce our CO2 emissions, things like decarbonisation of the energy production. Now, the bad news is, unfortunately, that the more that scientists discover about air pollution, the more that we find out that even low levels of air pollution are bad for us. According to the UK government, there is no clear evidence that there are any safe levels of air pollution exposure that won't cause adverse health effects. In other words, all air pollution is bad for us. The international organisation Clean Air Fund says that worldwide, 9 out of 10 of us breathe air that is damaging our health. Invisible particles penetrate every cell and organ in our bodies, causing acute and chronic diseases including asthma, strokes, heart attacks and dementia. Now, if you'd like to see how polluted the air is in your local area, I'll pop a link to a map prepared by Friends of the Earth, which has all those stats in. And I'll put it into the notes that go with the podcast of this show that you'll find on the podcast page of mix92.6.com. And I'll tell you now, it might look like the air around here is crystal clear, but it's actually pretty mucky. Now, St. Albans District Council has prepared a draft Air Quality Action Plan, setting out what it's going to try and do about air pollution. And there's a consultation open until the 27th of September in which you can say what you think of their plan. I spoke to Councillor Raj Visram, leader for Air Quality and Pollution Control at St Albans District Council. Councillor Visram, I very much appreciate you spending time talking to us today. So the consultation on the St Albans District Air Quality Action Plan, it starts off by asking us whether we're concerned about air pollution levels where we live. And I think it would be fair to say that for the vast majority of people, they think if they can't smell pollution and they can't see smoke, that actually there isn't any air pollution there. And I just wondered whether this sort of lack of understanding was of concern to you and whether you thought that this might affect our ability to give a valuable response to the consultation.
Thanks for having me again. Yes, it does raise some concerns because, as you say, it's not completely obvious here. We're not in a very industrial area, for instance. We can't see plumes of dark smoke coming out of chimneys all around us. But the traffic situation we have here and a few other factors do mean that we have to really control what's being put into the atmosphere by mostly residents. As I say, there's very little industry here and primarily on our transport network as well. They do have an impact. As you say, they're invisible until you start to suffer from them and we have health issues around breathing difficulties, even heart disease, that are linked directly to some of these pollutants.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the more research you do, the more you see that there are so many different medical complaints which have been linked with air pollution, even down to things like mental health So there's obviously a lot of awareness raising to be done there. And I just wonder, for those people who do respond to the consultation, I just wondered how responses will make a difference. I mean, for example, if we all said actually that we're not really bothered about air pollution and we love our open fires and we can't see the problem with them, would that mean that the council wouldn't be supporting the wood burning awareness campaign Clean Air Night?
It would be considered, but we also have to remember we have legal obligations to produce this air quality management plan and to reduce, we have targets to reduce certain particulate emissions and levels of nitrogen dioxide, et cetera, set by central government, and they will be monitored, and we have to report that annually. And this plan, if you like, is our route to reducing those to meet those targets. So, as I said before, you know, some people think it doesn't concern them or it's not a big issue, but we are in a position where we have to, by law, you know, make improvements in this area.
Now, it's clear that actually individuals can make quite a difference to local air quality. You've mentioned our vehicles, you know, whether we're driving them or idling them, whether we choose to burn wood at home, whether we choose to have a gas boiler. So how much can St Albans District Council actually do about local air quality?
On the sort of practical side, like you're talking about gas boilers and home consumption of energy and what it produces in the way of pollution, we are undergoing a program of renewing our own housing stock to make it as efficient as possible and least polluting as possible. With the general public, we can raise more awareness of what impact that actually has. You mentioned things like idling, and I noticed that around school run times, people quite happily idle their cars around young children for far too long, let me say. And it's just having that connection, if you like, between what I'm doing sitting in my car and what impact it's having on the outside world, outside of my bubble of my car.
Yes, indeed. It does seem like, actually, if we understood a little bit more about the effect that we were having, perhaps we wouldn't be so ready to do things like that. So perhaps in many areas, actually, it's awareness raising and information and perhaps enabling that the district council can help us with. So can we just talk about a few areas? I mean, let's perhaps start with those cars. What can you do to encourage us to use our cars a little bit less? I mean, that's less idling is great, but really just using our cars less is what it comes down to, isn't it?
Of course. And one of the things that I'd really like to see is more alternatives on offer. People use cars here for very, very short journeys sometimes. So we need to, through our cycling network or our sort of encouragement to walk by providing sort of safe routes for walking, and improving local transport. You know, the bus network here, I think, has a lot of room for improvement. And although we don't, as a district, control that directly, we have a very strong support in all of these measures and the transport plan for Hertfordshire to concentrate on transport measures where they have the highest effect on air quality. I'm thinking particularly about, there's a couple of hotspots, if you like, for air quality where it's particularly bad. In fact, we did have three and we are now down to one. This is sort of monitored, and we're quite lucky in that we only have one area of concern that we really have to monitor closely, and that is in the centre of the city at the Peahen Junction, you know, the crossroads where there's a hill and traffic lights and so on. So everything we could do to clean up the air in that area would be very helpful. And one of those things could be to switch the bus routes there to lower pollution engines or indeed electric buses.
And will that be possible? It seems that bus services are under quite a lot of pressure with funding at the moment. So will there be help for them to switch to electric buses?
That's what we're aiming for. And again, this would not be something driven directly by the district and its finances, but by a more national or a county transport highways scheme.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. It would be a shame not to have the buses, so those people ended up in cars. That would be...
That's it, exactly. Yes.
Yes, indeed. So let's now look a bit closer to home and what we do there. Is there any way that you can influence us or help us to ensure that the way that we heat our home is a little bit better for air quality?
Yes, as you mentioned, the clean air nights. There has been quite a strong uptake on things like wood burners in the area, much more than the national average, primarily for lifestyle reasons, I would say. And that's lovely. And it does sort of create the right atmosphere in the home. But people just have to be a little bit more conscious about what is the fuel that they're burning and how they're burning it. I know wood burners have improved over the last few years to burn cleaner. And likewise, the fuel that you put into them has to be well seasoned and of the correct moisture level and so on. So we're not saying spend thousands on a wood burner and then just never use it. What we're trying to get to is a point where people are using them consciously.
Yes, perhaps using them a little bit less. And as you say, selecting absolutely the best fuel for them. And perhaps having in mind that, of course, this doesn't just impact you, but also your neighbours as well. Air pollution isn't something we keep to ourselves, is it?
That's right. It works at those very local levels. We notice that, you know, houses that have been renovated and have a number of wood burners in the street do have higher levels. And if you extend that outwards, we suffer here even from some pollution that comes over from North London. No, nothing happens in isolation when the atmosphere is concerned.
No, that's right. We all need to work together on this. And I just wondered, it's the time of year, I've kind of noticed that there's been a few bonfires around. I just wondered whether the plan had anything in mind for bonfires.
Commercial bonfires, we have powers to control. I think with other burning, we are looking at measures that we can put in place. Again, you know, it's a question of degree. We're not saying there will be no bonfires, full stop. But again, it's to do with consideration and frequency of use. And if, as you say, the impact that will have.
Yes, indeed. You know, if you've got neighbours who are asthmatic or who have small children, or as you say, vulnerable residents, I suppose the impact on those is a lot more, isn't it? It would seem that a lot of the things that you're proposing tie in very closely with what you're doing around climate change. Are you making sure that both of those are very nicely dovetailed together?
Absolutely. I think you've just really zoomed in on a point that I've been trying to do for some time now, that we have lots of measures in all different directions around our environment. And this, along with flood management and the trees that I spoke to you about earlier, they all contribute to the same direction of travel that we want to take, which is improving our environment for our residents.
Yes, indeed. And what you're encouraging for the environment more generally actually is good for human health, isn't it? Finally, I just wanted to perhaps mention a source of air pollution I've not really thought about, and that's building sites. Do you have any plans there?
Yes, our sort of building enforcement team, that's one area where we can control what happens when we grant planning permission for things. We do want to see much more considerate construction work in terms of the impact it has on the atmosphere locally. So things like demolitions, even things like cutting tiles outdoors, you know, ceramic tiles, they create lots of particles that fly around and they can have quite negative impacts on their neighbours. So the more we can do about even just, you know, cleaning the construction site sort of at the end of each period or keeping vehicles cleaner, all of those things will help to keep construction as low impact on the neighbourhood as we can manage.
Yes. Indeed. Well, I'm sure this will be valuable, particularly with the numbers of houses that the new government is proposing building and the numbers that are required round here. So certainly making sure that building sites are not a huge source of air pollution will be one way of reducing their impact. So we've seen how air pollution is something that, you know, really does affect all of us and all of us have an impact on. What would you say to someone who says that they're not actually bothered about air pollution and can't really see the point in filling in the survey which you've put online for us?
Yes, it goes back to this point of, you know, people don't see this directly, and it doesn't affect, if you like, the main producers of this pollution aren't necessarily the people that are suffering from it. But if they were to have children or grandchildren or parents or grandparents, you know, they should look at how it would impact them, not just now, but in years to come as well. So I think there's a sort of a wider view that those people have to take to say, I'm fine sitting in my car, you know, idling away. I've got my aircon on. I'm happy. But just step outside of that mentally and look at what's happening around you. Yes.
Yes, indeed. Think about, well, and the effects that it might have on all of us eventually. Councillor Wisdom, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that.
Oh, thank you very much. And I hope we can get some interesting responses. Thank you very much.
I was talking there to Councillor Raj Visram of St Albans District Council. Now, as I said, the closing date for the consultation is the 27th of September. And if you go to the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com, I'll make sure that I include a link to the draft air quality action plan itself. And I'll also pop in there a link to the survey of the draft plan. I would say that the action plan is a bit of a hefty read. It's about 65 pages long. However, the survey is a much more user-friendly document, with most of the questions being multiple choices. And to be honest, if nothing else, you can answer the question about whether you are concerned about air pollution. Do take a look. Need only take you a few moments. And as we've said, air pollution really is one of those things that affects us all. And whilst you're on the Mix 92.6 podcast page, do take a look at the podcast about measures being taken to reduce air pollution in local schools by using air purifiers. Or if you missed it, find out why wood burning is particularly harmful to our health and the environment in the podcast entitled Listen to This Before Lighting the Fire, where I talked to internationally renowned expert Dr. Brian Monk. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.